Welcome to our Sunday message, Sunday the 4th of August 2024. I'm going to start by reading a scripture well known to everyone in the church, Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 30. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. The title of this message is My Yoke is Easy. The other morning I was reading this scripture as it had come up, and I was thinking about it. It struck me as rather strange in a way that he would say something that is difficult is easy. Now, the Lord is employing here a figure of speech which is quite common throughout the word and which the English language calls a paradox. We've spoken about this on numerous occasions, but very simply stated, a paradox is something that at first sight appears to be contradictory. However, if one inspects it, looks at it closely, there's a deeper lesson to be learned from it, a profound lesson to be learned from it. A good example of a paradox in English language is what is termed a bittersweet experience. How can something be bitter and at the same time sweet? Well, sometimes the emotional experience is sweet, even though it's a difficult one. But the point is that a paradox is a very powerful way in which to convey a truth. And the Lord uses it here. Very simply stated, if you understand a yoke is one of those heavy blocks that is put on two oxen or two horses, but generally speaking, two oxen, whereby they are yoked together. A yoke is a heavy thing, but two oxen are yoked together. Many oxen might be yoked together in pairs. And the whole idea is, as we say in South Africa, they are inspanned for the purpose of pulling a heavy draft. So, intrinsically, a yoke is something that is heavy, something we don't want to have. I'm sure the average ox would much rather roam free in the field rather than be yoked together with another ox to pull a burden. Now, the Lord says, come to me, all you are burdened, heavy laden, and you'll find rest. But how do you find that rest? Well, here comes the paradox. Take a yoke, my yoke, upon you. Which person who is burdened already wants to take on another burden? Because that's what a yoke is. But he goes on to say, take my yoke upon you, learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. When one thinks about this in a bit of depth, one's got to realize that no matter what you and I would like to do, inevitably We are yoked to something. That's the way it is. You and I, as long as we are on this earth, are yoked to something. For a start, we are yoked to our human body. You cannot go on this earth without a human body. That body might give you a bit of trouble in many areas. The human body is very demanding. Demands to be fed, demands to be watered, it demands to be washed, to be protected, to be kept warm, to be clothed, to be pampered, a whole lot of other things. That body of yours and mine places demands on us as human beings. A spirit being is yoked to our body. We may not like it. We may wish to be free from it. But the truth is, that's the way it is. That's the way it is. If you no longer wish to be yoked to your body, you have no alternative, and you can no longer be on this earth. You and I will always be yoked to something. We are yoked to our desires. As much as you and I suppress them, control them, we have to live with them. As long as we're on this earth, even if we are born again, put the body to death in the baptismal process, that old man is still out there somewhere, always rearing, take over again, as many of us are so well aware. But take it into more general context. When you and I become born again, we need to realize something. We are yoked together with the body of Christ. This is an unpopular message in this day and age. Many people say, I don't want to have anything to do with the church. And one can understand it to a certain extent. I remember one young man, when I asked him which church he belonged to, he said, I don't belong to any church. I asked him why. And he said, well, I won't be controlled by anybody. Basically, I'm an independent person, a free agent. I think for myself. Well, I couldn't say anything to him then, of course. But you see, I realized something. He still had to learn that if he was independent, that would end in disaster spiritually. We were never designed that way. We were designed to be, yes, yoked to the body of Christ. How we go about that, of course, is another story. But the point is this. We might not want to be yoked. Our human nature wants to be free, in a sense, free to do exactly what we want. People have interviewed very wealthy men and women and asked them, what is the greatest thing that your wealth has given you? And very many times they answer, the freedom to do as I please. You see, that's the spirit of our age. That's the lie of the devil. You and I deserve, demand, have the right to be free to do as we please. Well, the truth is, we're not. That's the way it is. You and I, as children of God, are yoked to His Word. We should be. There are certain things His Word permits and other things that it doesn't. We're not free to choose in that regard. We are free to choose, yes, whether we will be yoked or not. But the yoke is there. And if we choose not to be yoked to God's Word, inevitably, we end up being yoked to our own desires. We become slaves of what we want for ourselves. Let me tell you, that is a terrible, terrible master which will doom us to destruction. In a more practical sense of the term, if you and I are employed, we are yoked to that business. If we want to succeed in that business, we have to recognize we are yoked. That means we have to abide by their times and their rules. And then if we do that, we do what they require of us, we reap the benefit of that. You can't expect to reap the benefit of an enterprise that you belong to if you are not prepared to be yoked to it. When I was teaching, I had a young man who didn't hand in his assignment on one occasion. I asked him why. And he was at that stage when he was just about to go out into the world. And he said to me, well, you see, I don't care about these things. I'm going to be self-employed. And then I'll be free to do as I please, you see, starting now. Well, of course, once again, I couldn't say anything to him. You can't argue with that thinking at that stage. But had he asked me, I could have told him from experience. You might say you're never going to work for a boss. What's the alternative? Set up a company. Inevitably, a company's got to service its clients, and he's going to have to find out the hard way that instead of one boss, he's going to be replacing that with a whole lot of bosses. Why? Every one of his clients will demand. He'll be yoked to them. My point is this. We have to be yoked some way or the other. And the point the Lord is making is that, yes, you have to be yoked, but my yoke is easy. My yoke is easy. What did he exactly mean by that? He didn't mean that it's a breeze. How do we know that? Well, a bit earlier, in Matthew 7, 13 and 14, he says, enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. There is a way which in a sense is throwing off a yoke, but ultimately it leads to destruction. You see, taking up the yoke means that you accept, you and I accept, that we have responsibilities. There are things that have to be done. The question is not whether you and I are yoked or not. The question is what it is that you and I are yoked to. Let me just say that again. The question is not whether you and I will be yoked. The real question is, what will we be yoked to? And the world's yoke, as it were, looks easy. When I was at university, the phrase that had sort of currency in that day and age was, if it turns you on, go for it. That sort of yoke is easy, or so it seems. But very subtly, that yoke, even though it appears to be liberty, is actually bondage. Bondage of a more terrible and demanding type. The devil also has a yoke, by the way. And his yoke is the yoke that links us to ultimate death and destruction. But the Lord says, if you are burdened, heavy laden, come along, be yoked to me. My yoke is easy. Now let's try and understand what this means. My yoke is easy. The actual word is taken from a Greek word, kriomai, means to touch lightly, essentially to furnish what is needed. It's the very same root word that the word translated as gentle, the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians, is based on. One of the fruit of the Spirit is gentleness, the same root. Now you see, what does the root word mean? To touch lightly and more expressively, to furnish what is needed. The point is that you and I in this life will have to face challenges. There's no way around that. It's how it is. We need to recognize that. But the point the Lord is making is that, you see, when you and I are in the right place, that's the essence of being yoked. When we are in the right place, those challenges become overcomable. It becomes possible. Now, the advantage of a yoke, the reason why oxen are yoked together and not allowed to just pull as they will, is that, you see, when you and I are yoked to something and we work together with others, we are capable of achieving far more than we could possibly achieve on our own. Apparently, it's an aerodynamic fact that birds, when they migrate especially, they fly together in a flock. And science has proved that by flying together in formation, the rhythm set up by the beating of the wings, the air pattern, the whole process of breaking through the air is simplified. And by operating in complete harmony, they're able to achieve far more than any one of them could achieve flapping alone. The same principle is picked up when we read what the Lord said to his disciples. Again I say to you, this is Matthew 10:19. Again I say to you, if two shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. If two shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done. In other words, when we agree, now that word agree, once again, the root word is symphoneo, the same word that is the root for our word symphony. You think of a symphony, all those majestic instruments, each one with its own particular tone, its own particular color, its own particular range and sound. When all of those instruments can work together in harmony, they can achieve something of great power. I'm always enthralled by the power that can be released by a full symphony orchestra. And that power is much greater than perhaps one instrument or two playing on their own. You see, the point is, this yoking business can work for us. But the question is, as we said, what and to whom are we yoked? Now, here we have the Lord saying, be yoked with me. When you and I are yoked together with some other personal being, what we have comes to the table, and what they have also comes to the table, and the joint effort, if done in harmony, produces optimal force. You and I can go through life struggling on our own, and the world system encourages us to do that. Each man can do his own thing. There's freedom, or so they say. But we have to grasp that we were never designed like that. And if we try to work completely independent of everybody and everything, we will not achieve our full potential. The other side of the coin is that if we are correctly harnessed, as it were, in the right environment, with the right people, with the right objective and the right purpose, then we can be released in our full potential and collectively achieve far more. I think it was the US President Ronald Reagan who once stated that it's amazing what can get done if nobody's concerned about themselves. It's amazing what you can achieve when people are not concerned about themselves. In other words, for an organization to run effectively and efficiently, everybody must know what's expected of them and be released to do that. That's great leadership, I believe. The great organizations that have emerged, both church and secular, have been those where the leadership have put in place the right people, and everybody knows what they have to do and is free to do it, encouraged to do it, and given the resources to do it with. That's very much for you and I to take home for ourselves. What does it mean to be yoked with the Lord? It means to know what He wants us to do, to be part of His great plan. 2 Peter 1:10, we've spoken about this before, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Give diligence. Work hard at trying to understand where you and I fit in the whole scheme of things. The beauty of that is when we know where we fit in, as it were, we can take up the yoke and get to work. I know from experience in my own ministry, for many years we were struggling along, and it wasn't that the circumstances were the problem so much. The problem was the doubt within. And I'll never forget the day when the Holy Spirit sovereignly settled all that doubt in my heart. And I knew that I knew that I knew what it was that God Himself wanted me on this earth to do. And since that time, although things have been far from easy, I haven't really struggled with them. Why? Well, you see, I'm yoked to my purpose in God. Because of that, day to day, I know to do just what I have to do. His yoke is easy. It doesn't mean that everything is easy around us, but it means that you and I can put our hearts into it. And you see, the beauty of that is that we can now focus. When you and I are not sure where we're supposed to be yoked, we end up pulling this way, pulling that way, and inevitably getting stuck in the mire. But when we know where we're supposed to be and we are in it and we are moving with it, though it is not easy, it's an uphill battle sometime, but because we are yoked with the power of God, we're able to keep going and ultimately to push through. Notice something else that he says. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Part of this yoking process is this process of assimilation. The imagery is quite powerful. You see, if we are out in the field on our own, not in close proximity, we can't pick up, we can't grasp. And this Christian walk, I have discovered, is an ongoing process of learning, of revelation. You see, when it says make your calling and election sure, the implication is that you and I don't just suddenly know everything from beginning to end. The point is, though, if we are yoked to him in our relationship with him, in our relationship with others, in that environment, we're able, we are positioned to learn, to find out. I didn't just wake up one morning and discover my calling. That was the result of many years of working together with other people in churches, in situations, in workplaces, and continually learning. Many things that God's called me to do, I never knew they existed when I first started. Quite obviously, God had to build one paradigm, one step in my mind at a time. And I would never have discovered that. I would never have developed one step at a time if I hadn't been exposed. That's the point. We have to be yoked. We learn from one another. We learn from him. We learn from the Holy Spirit. We learn from the Word of God. This understanding of yoke is very powerful. It does mean discipline. It does mean perhaps turning our back on what we would want to do, in the process, discovering in our lives what he wants us to do. And there's a big difference. And might I add, the miracle is that when we discover what it is that he wants us to do, did you know, we suddenly realize with all our hearts, that's what we really want to do. Why? Because that's how we were designed and why we were made. You see, this business of being yoked could be translated as being positioned in the perfect will of God. That's quite contrary to the world system, which wants us to be positioned in a place where we can just do as we please, but there's no liberty in that, because eventually we end up being yoked to whatever pleases us. And as you said, that's a quick road to destruction. So I'm encouraging you and I to understand something. This yoke that the Lord offers is not easy, in the sense of, from now on, we don't have to worry about a thing, it's just downhill. No, on the contrary, there might be a lot of uphill. But that uphill is necessary for many, many reasons. Character development and growth being perhaps the primary one. That uphill is important for our lives, for our development. You will not grow into a strong fighter if you never have a fight. But you see, what the Lord is saying is that you will have to fight battles, but if you are yoked with me, I'll help you through them. In a sense, like a coach, we'll work together. I'll give you the power necessary. I think that's beautiful. Who wouldn't want to be yoked to the King of Glory? Who wouldn't want to be yoked to this wonderful God that so desperately wants us to make it through and to be successful? And to be blessed in every area of our lives. So, my brothers and sisters, let's just take that yoke upon us. Let's not fight against the yoke. Let's not be like Jonah. God offered him a yoke, and instead of going east, he went as far as he could west. But he couldn't escape it ultimately, and neither can you or I. We have to face up to this realization. God has got a purpose for us. God has got a place for us, and God has got people for us to whom we have to be yoked, whether we want to or not. But you see, he's encouraging us to want to. Why? Because in wanting to, the journey becomes easy, and we become able to achieve far more than we could ever do all on our own. Be blessed in the wonderful name of Yeshua. Amen.